There has never been a better time to make a new website. Why? Because a company like Squarespace.com exists. All of the wonderful templates, the free domain name, the incredible responsive design on mobile and desktop, all of these things are reasons you should check it out. But the main reason is we want to save you some money. Go have the free trial, and when you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout. That'll give you 10% off your account. That's morning at checkout at squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, I can finally get my life back.
The three-boobed lady is a fraud.
That turns out. A Chinese Twinkie box might yield some sweet loot.
True Detective Season 2 gets another guy. All right, all right, all right.
I wish. Hackers say they have a lot more nudies.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The Legoland King's Castle. You can build this castle and play with it for days, but you've only started. The box shows other ways to build these mighty castles, where knights and horses stand, or joust around to have some fun, or march across the land. Each day there's adventure, always something new, and the team that dreams tomorrow up is Legoland and you. There are six more castle sets you can collect, each sold separately. King's Castle is part of the Legoland Castle Collection and has hundreds of bricks for building. From Lego Systems.
Fear my leet skills. Faux shizzle my manizzle.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
I'm not angry. I'm passionate. Duh.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
It is. I am.
It's Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. Guess what I found out this morning?
What did you find out this morning?
There was a post on Facebook that said the 20th of September, the day of my daughter's actual wedding, is the most popular wedding day of 2014.
What? Really?
More weddings performed that day than any other day this year.
That seems crazy. Wouldn't you think it would be a day in June?
I would have.
Aren't June weddings the...
I thought spring and early summer weddings were the hot deal, yeah. Or they wait till Christmas, second place maybe. But for whatever reason, September, bringing it this year.
Woo. Wow.
And that's, a week after my anniversary. So, you know, a lot of people married right around the same time. Jeff Cannata got married, friend of the program.
A good fall wedding.
Yeah. Bashiok at Blizzard got married that same day. And, I know a lot of... Ryan Murphy, our very own Tadpooler, married that weekend.
Upper Murphy?
yes. What's your name, son? I am coming off the second wedding, the thing yesterday.
This was basically, you know, the thing you've been kind of waiting for to be complete. Was kind of complete.
Yeah.
Half complete, and now it's fully complete. Now achievement unlocked.
The full Monty, yeah. It's like I did wing one of a raid, and this I did the final wing yesterday.
It's like Saturday was wings 1 through 3 of the raid.
Yeah.
Last night was the final wing, but it had the final boss.
Yeah, and I'm still wiping, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
I'm not going to explain. So, we did the split up thing. And I got to say, I highly recommend this. It's the first time I've ever been to or been involved in a wedding that did the split thing where it was Saturday and then a break and then some other day. I kind of recommend it. It was kind of nice to have the chunk of time between and I could still sort of keep everything burning the way I needed to. And it wasn't such a burnout on one day. And, you know, by the end of a single day kind of event like that, you're about ready to just die, you know, but this was nice to have it in two chunks. That being said, I'm still pooped. Last night was hard and there was dancing and there was, you know, a little more raucous sort of event. And I was super tired when I got home and the kids came over, meaning Taylor and Dylan, and opened a bunch of other stuff. And man, what a spoiled generation this is. Let me tell you, dude, really? When I got married, quite literally, when I left the wedding, in my car that someone put a smoke bomb in. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, one of those little cherry smoke bombs, the colored ones.
Prank the father of the bride.
Hey, congratulations. Here's some carcinogens that will likely give you cancer 50 years from now, and you won't be able to see shit, and it'll be cold out that night, and all the cookies on the front windshield are smearing all over the place, and you're going to be basically a driving hazard for the next 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
Happy marriage, everyone. Anyway, I don't want to complain because it was a good time, and I survived. But the point is that we walked away with Brian, and I'm not kidding, and I know people use literally pretty liberally these days, a liberal literal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we literally had $50 to our name when we left. That's all we had. And we even stopped at a hotel on our way to the cabin that we had all reserved for our honeymoon, and yeah. had to, cuz it was so we were so tired. So we stayed at this Best Western whose one room night was $65. And I said to the lady, "Well, I've only got 50." And she goes,
"What can you do for
me?" And she goes, "Oh, well, tell me what's going on." I said, "We just got married tonight." "Oh, well, then I'm going to give you the wedding discount. Just give me what you have, and that'll be fine." So we gave her all the money to our name.
Oh, my God. $50.
I mean, we may have a little cash here and there that we use for, like,
sure.
groceries or whatever. But it was really, I mean, we were seriously destitute. These two come home last night, and they open all these envelopes they got, right? Mm-hmm. Just rip, rip, rip.
Right.
Walked away with $1,300 in cash from just random people. You know, wow. Dude gave 20 and my brother-in-law gave 100 for some crazy reason. One of those nice new Benjamin Franklin looking 100s with the weird strip and the holographic deal. And
yeah, it's not that newfangled. It's been around for a couple of years.
Yeah, it looks like Canadian money. It weirds me out.
It's like all cyborg. You know, yeah. It's like half money, half robot.
I know. It feels like it's New Detroit, dude. I'm in some kind of weird pseudo future, and all our money looks weird. But anyway, because I don't see that very often, nor do I see 100s very often. That's kind of a rare.
Yeah, that's kind of a rarity.
Rare currency. But anyway, you know what? Whatever. I'm happy for him. That's awesome. All that cash is great. And all I could think of was, you know, some of that could have paid for those $300 box of sparklers we used when you left. You had to have your hipster sparklers, you know.
Instead of rice like they did. That's cool.
Brian, I could have bought a big giant bag, a jumbo bag of rice, enough rice to feed a family of 50 Chinese people. I could have bought one. And it would have been about $10. And we'd have thrown that rice at them. But no, we had to buy $300 specially made wedding sparklers that were extra long and extra burny. By the way, don't light like
somebody is making a killing on those.
Abso-freaking-lutely. If I'd have had more to do with that decision.
Special wedding sparklers that are extra long and extra burny.
Yeah, it sucked. I was pissed. Anyway, because they once they're burned, they're done. They're not good for jack shit after that.
Oh, yeah. No. You got a pile of ash is what you got.
You can build a rickety bad like chicken coop or something out of all that wire. But that's it. And what's funny, though, is my brother-in-law decides. So I'm thinking, well, there's no way that there are 300 people here at the end of this night to hold them. So I'll have some of these extra. We'll save them for the fourth. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I look down the line there. My brother-in-law is taking it upon himself. Devin. He's taking it upon himself to take about 25 in his hand and light them all on fire at once.
Oh, my God.
And what I experienced in that visual.
That sounds like an OSHA hazard.
Dude, it was like watching Adam Savage play around with thermite. It was like.
You could probably weld something with 25 sparklers. You could.
It was intense. And he burned his hand, too. So it was like kind of scary there for a minute.
Geez.
I'm like, well, that's your fault, A. And B, I think you just burned about $100 or something.
Right.
So I'm looking at that $1,300 and going, hey, how about that's $1,000 and you give me $300 for those damn sparklers? I was being all cheap old man last night. But anyway.
Yeah, of course.
They're happy. Everyone's great.
Were you keeping an eye out for crashers who are going to come in and take one of your wedding gifts and take it to another wedding?
I have to admit, I thought about it for a second. It didn't happen, as far as I know. I wasn't able to keep complete and total eye watch on what was going on, but. As far as I know, nobody pulled what I would have done in high school. I think part of the advantage was we were in a kind of the place we were in was kind of out of the way, it's like a golf course type reception center, you know, golf club kind of place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it Country would be hard club. For a bunch of dumb kids to just randomly go there. So
right. It'd be very obvious if they just showed up.
Yeah. In our case, when I was doing that, when I was, you know, 16, we went downtown to like 4 or 5 actual wedding reception places that were all within driving distance, blocks from each other. I mean, we knew how to be super jerks. So we did what we had to do. We did the business, Brian. If you'd have been there, we'd have been laughing together. Today, we'd mourn it, but then it was awesome. Anyway, so it was a really good time. It wasn't all $300 being spent. It was nice. We had the Cold Stone Creamery thing. Turned out to be brilliant to have
Having them cater, that's awesome.
It was awesome. Oh, my gosh. These giant, like, waffle cones just everywhere, and everybody just eating the coolest ice cream. And there's a bunch of that left over that we got to keep. So we'll hang on to that for a rainy day. It went good. The dance was great. There wasn't a ton of bawling because there was so much energy in that room that you kind of didn't, feel like it at that point. And I stepped on her train a lot, so that was hard to get emotional while you're stepping on her train.
Right.
Because that thing was in the way. That's what they call it, a train.
Of course. Yeah, the strip of cloth that follows behind a bride.
Yeah.
Were you saying, it's going to be so hard to let you go, and you're standing on a train?
Yeah, I said, I just can't get off your dress is what I'm translating that to. But anyway, I wore stupid sneakers for fun, and she thought that was cute, so we had no problem with it. I got a few looks from some strange adults. Marcus and Amber were there. You know him as Darth Marquis. Dude who the single probably nicest people I've ever known to ever come to like Nerdtacular or be fans or any of that. They are the sweetest, nicest. If you closed your eyes, you'd think you were talking to like somebody's nice old grandparents or something. But when you see them, you're pretty sure that other people in Marilyn Manson's band might have shown up.
Right. These are the couple, or at least some of the people that got treated unfairly by the wedding party that was at Nerdtacular at the same time as as our event.
Yes, I think so. Right?
I think so.
I think you're. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because
they were in an elevator with them or something.
Something like that. Their natural state is that they are cool looking, but cool to us is scary to some.
Right.
Once you get to know them, though, like 5 minutes into talking to them, I don't know that I've ever known nicer people. They are the sweetest freaking people.
They are super, super cool.
So they hung around and stuff, and it was great because I'm having kind of fun with this. I spent a lot of time talking to them, and it was really nice of them to come and represent the whole Frog Pants thing, and that was great. But every once in a while, I'd see like an old person kind of glance over and just kind of go, yeah, what's this about? What's going on over there? And I'm thinking, you judgmental bunch of buttholes. They're really nice. You have no idea. Yes. And they are nice. They never are never not a nice thing to say about my kids or my family.
Never not nice.
Yeah, never not nice. That's their N-N-N-N. It took me a while, didn't it?
A little long, yeah.
Is it possible to have a hangover when you don't drink?
A little tired.
Yeah. Is that possible?
Well, didn't Donna Summer have a love hangover?
Oh, she,
imagine
she
you can have a wedding hangover. I imagine.
Is she still with us, Donna Summers? Just curious.
No.
Okay.
She passed away a few years ago. I'm not going to make that mistake again, people.
All right. Listen, your monkey's knowledge.
Say she passed away in like 2010.
No, that's 2009? Recent. Then. Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was fairly recent.
Donna Summer. I'm just going to look real quick, see what the day was. It was
2012. It was more recent than I thought. Yeah.
Wow. All right. But you know what? She looks. She looked great before she died. What happened there, I wonder? Well, anyway, whatever. So, point is, it's over. I can move on with my life. I was
lung
nice to
cancer,
see...
by the way, was what took out Donna Summer.
Bone, did you say?
Lung.
Cancer. Oh, okay. Matt Anderson, Dark Anders, a.k.a. Dark Anders, his family were there.
Cool.
Yeah. A lot of old friends that listen to shows and stuff, like Jeff Straw, if you're listening, Colin Farmer, old wild buddy of mine and been listening to The Instance forever. Anyway, it's cool to see fans.
By the way, it was Diana Ross, not Donna Summer, who had Love Hangover.
Don't. See, you did it. You went ahead and did it. You screwed it up. That's it, Brian. You're out.
That's all right.
Diana,
Donna, come on.
Kind of disco time. They're kind of all in the same boat.
They kind of were, yeah.
Anyway, family, friends, blah, blah. It was all great. It was great.
That's cool.
And I'm still a little bit surprised how chill we're all, the Kim and I are about the whole thing. We're not feeling any kind of loss, remorse. We're just happy for them. They're doing great. They're in a car right now on their way to California for their honeymoon. They're going to be there for 6 days, and they're staying in some awesome resorty thing, and they're just couldn't be happier, and they looked amazing and all that stuff. Proud dad, blah blah, all that stuff times 10. Now I don't have to worry about this shit though for a long time. I'm done. Carter's not going to get married right away, certainly. She's 17. She's got some,
got some years. Yes,
she's got some years. I doubt she's a. Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows? I didn't think Tay would be a 20-year-old married
you can't
person
you can't
either.
Right, you can't put a wall up, you know, you can't protect her
from love,
from
Brian.
Men who want to marry her forever, right?
Those evil men who want to marry her. Hard for me to think of him, even Dylan, as a man, but he is. He's 22. He's technically a man.
Christian Slater looking man, apparently.
Yeah, totally. And people believe. And at the wedding, I kept bringing it up, and even his mom admitted it. She goes, "Oh my gosh, he does look like him." I'm like, yeah.
Did he walk in and go, "Greetings and salutations.
How's everybody doing?" He didn't do that. And then I yelled, "We just want the money." I yelled,
"Where's Harvey Dent?" All of a
"Where's
sudden?
Harvey Dent?" Oh gosh. Anyway, my buddy Drew was there, who I always love hanging around with. And for those who don't know who Andrew is, he's the guy. He is the you can eat rice guy. And he's the six shooter Yosemite guy, and all these stories that I've told for years. He and I used to hang out constantly, and we met them when Taylor was 8 months old, and here she is, 20 years later, freaking everybody out. Good times, good times.
Wow.
And huge, by the way, I don't know how many of them are listening, but huge thanks to so many producers and Frog Panthers who sent her so much of like the registry stuff, like the big ticket items too, microwaves and freaking. Like all mattresses and hammocks. Freaking jury sent us a hammock. Justin Robert Young, Brian.
Oh my God,
sent,
a hammock.
Sent him and Ashley sent a hammock. Like what world do I live in where jury sends me a hammock for anything? Well, not technically me. It was for Taylor, but yeah, they got a hammock out of jury.
That's awesome. It's great that they register for a hammock too.
I know, right? That part was pretty good. So anyway, I guess that's all I have to say about it. There was no time for Mendoza. There was no time. There was no me time yesterday. That's okay. That's not without what a day wasn't for me. It was for other people.
No, exactly. It wasn't supposed to be for you. So there you go.
That's right. And by the way, that thing at the top of the show, that was Taylor when she was little. If you want to hear a tribute.
Really?
Yeah. If you want to hear a tribute to her. I did a Diary of a Cartoonist episode that is all about her, and there's old interviews, me talking to her, featuring things like, here, I'll play some of this for you just for fun. Hold on. That one, and let's try that. Okay, check this out. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here you go.
Yeah, Sam doesn't like cats.
Why is that?
Because the cat ran away.
The Wrath of Khan is the best Star Trek movie ever. PC suck. Macintosh rule. All your base are belong to us.
I mean, she was probably...
Wow.
I don't know how old she was there. She was probably... Jeez. 3, 4. Oh, no. Wow. 3 in that first one, and then probably 8 or 9 in those newer ones. I was training her young, as you can tell.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, I'm just really proud of her, and it's all good. And now I will stop talking about weddings and children and all that stuff. It's time to talk about farts and Star Trek.
You'll probably stop talking about weddings, but it's not like you're out of the woods for children.
No, I got 2 more, dude.
No.
Oh, you mean grandkids? Is that what you mean?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, good Lord.
Exactly.
Well, they have, if he's serious about...
Grandpa Johnson!
If he's serious about med school, and if she's serious about her, what she has planned for what she's still doing in college and stuff, I think it'll be a while. I don't think that's anything we're going to see in the next year or 2 years. You do never know. One little slip and we're all hoes, if you know what I'm saying. And I don't like...
I think I know what you're saying. I think I know what you're insinuating.
Yeah, the hose part probably gave it away. All right, we're gonna call Daryl and talk to him about what it means to know that your kids are now having copious amounts of coitus.
Oh, God.
I know, right?
It's probably not the first thing you want to think of.
Probably not. I don't want to think about it ever again. Look at here, it's a Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
Tech Ease, the podcast about simplifying our lives one gadget at a time. Check us out at niceguynetwork.com/techease. That's TECHEASE.
Well, I like the sound of that.
Yes.
Daryl Skeels, are you on the line?
I am here.
Still at home, still doing the thing.
Still angry.
Ever angry.
Well, by the shirt, we can tell that you're angry.
Yeah.
Oh. It's Angry Birds, which are actually from Peanuts.
Oh, what?
The original Angry Birds.
Woodstocks?
Yeah, Woodstocks.
Oh, they're a bunch of Woodstocks.
Are they going, ay.
Yeah.
They look like mustard stains, which would make you angry. That's what I thought that was. But what do I know? Hey, Daryl, it's good to have you on. And how many more days are you home for the morning? What's going on with that?
Through the week, right? Through the end of the week?
Yeah, through the week.
All right. Yep. Next week, Daryl will be on his normal cubicle phone with strange business meetings happening all around him. It'll be fantastic.
People slowly rising above the cubicles to look and see what's going on in his in his square.
Yeah, what's he eating over there? What's going on? What's the deal with Star Trek?
What's a Tatranky?
Yeah. Now that rumor's floating around the office. Daryl's eating Trick-Hankies, and we don't even know what the hell they are. Well, it's good to have you home and here and doing this. He is the Trump. He is Donald Trump. And he's here to talk about Star Trek trivia. He's really good at these questions, so that's why we asked them. We've been doing it since the beginning, so sit down and relax, and here it is. Here's your Star Trek question. What episode does this clip come from? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here goes.
Captain Kirk.
What is it now?
I have been instructed to place you and Mr. Spock under arrest.
By whose order?
Starfleet Command, sir.
Where did you hear this order, Anson? Listen to me. This order is false. I want you and your men to return to the stations.
I'm sorry, Captain, but I must insist you and Mr. Spock come with me to the detention section.
Anson, listen to me.
Do not force me to kill you, sir. I will, if I have to.
Jeez, the detention section. Come with me to the detention section.
The detention department.
Yeah. Wasn't there an engineering department clip that we played?
There was, yes.
I'm going to find that. Engineering. Here we go. Right here.
Captain to engineering department.
Oh, good Lord. All right. So there's your clip. And your options are the following. A, mirror, mirror. B, and the children shall lead. C, day of the dove. Or D, by any other name. So mirror, mirror,
okay.
And the children shall lead, day of the dove, by any other name, is your fourth option there. And Daryl's going to...
No hands. You cheater accusers.
Why do people... I would never accuse Daryl of cheating.
Wow.
Well, who's doing that, jerks? You shouldn't accuse him of anything. If you can accuse Daryl of anything, it's just that... Got a mustard-stained shirt on it with Angry Birds on it.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
We are going to continue now with another Daniel... and his bag of goodies here. I don't know if you guys have any. Do we want to keep through the Tatrankies until they're gone?
Well, it depends on what. Daryl, what do you have with you?
Yeah, what'd you bring?
I have the bag of Tatrankies and everything else that was in there.
All right.
We could do like a Balatone or a Boche or.
Let's do the Boche just to break things up. Are you cool with that? It's the big green one that says Boche Sargacca Baracus Cascascus on the front. And there's like
I'm pulling.
A peach,
I'm pulling
a cookie.
It up to the camera.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
A peach and a Ritz cracker or something.
Let's
see what it tells us.
Yeah, what is
Boche.
That? Is that a Ritz? It doesn't look like a Ritz. I don't like Ritz crackers. I hate them, actually.
Here we go. This comes from Hungary. Oh, it's Hungarian.
Oh, all right.
Like half of my family. Mm-hmm. This is a chocolate brand. They have different flavors. I've sent you the apricot cookies flavor. I prefer the German or Swiss chocolate, but maybe you will disagree.
Okay. So are you telling me this?
There's different flavors that you can get.
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Is that what
you're
saying? Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like getting two bags of flavor in one.
Oh. All right.
Has a different flavor.
All right. I have more flavor clips than I expected. All right.
Wow.
Let's pop this open. All right. Give it a
apricot.
Shot.
Apricot and Ritz cracker flavor.
I didn't know. Is Hungary known for their chocolate prowess, or are they not
They're all in that same general Europe area where chocolate is good.
And is also the origin of the word Hungary, does it come from, because it's Hungary versus Hungary, right?
Right. Hungary, yes.
I just wonder if there's any... connection
I don't
there.
Know. There's no connection.
There's
there.
None at all. No. All right. So Hungary.
I don't think so.
Not even a Trek connection.
Okay. Well, good. I'm feeling very Hungary. All right. Here we go. Let's try it. All right. Right away, I'm getting a
fruity.
Crackle fruity vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fruity, but it's very crackle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what is that?
That's excellent.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good Lord. Ooh. This may be my favorite we've done in here.
Mm-hmm. What fruit is that? I can't identify it.
It's peach.
Apricot.
Or apricot, sorry, apricot.
Or just like the picture on the...
Yeah, anyway. Just like that on there. You thought that was also, a monkey butthole is what you thought that was. What, Brian?
Also, just like I said a minute ago.
Oh, did you? What, you said apricot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kept saying peach.
So in the back, they give you the calorie, well, what they call energy, not just for one bar or like one little square, but if you decide to eat the entire bar.
Yeah. Like a crazy
person. Instead of saying, this is one serving size, we're going to say, we realize that one serving size to some people is the entire bar.
Wow. Hungry man. Broadening our horizons. By the way, that little image of the apricot on the front that looks like a peach. Mm-hmm. Nicolas Cage could eat one of those for hours.
he can and will and does and did.
So Daryl, good job on the eating there. How about a birthday? We got anybody to help celebrate their little time on this earth?
Yes, we do. That would be John Logan. He's 53 today. He wrote the screenplay for Star Trek Nemesis.
Oh, I'm still one of those people who regards Nemesis quite highly. I like Nemesis a lot, partially because I think Tom Hardy's amazing in it, and his helper man, alien dude, played by Ron Perlman, is awesome. And you never even know it's him with that makeup. It's just wicked makeup.
Yeah.
And they kill a bunch of Romulans in the stupid padded shoulder outfits, and that's a good thing anytime that happens. So it's really a good Star Trek movie. I don't know why people have such a hard time with it. I think it's strong. I'd put it right up there with my top probably four Trek movies. In fact, I'd probably say, okay, here's my list. You ready? Here's my list. Wrath of Khan, number one. First Contact, number two. And probably Nemesis at three.
Hmm.
And then the rest are kind of a jumble. But I feel like those are my top three favorite Star Trek movies. I don't know why Nemesis resonates with me. It just does.
Well, that's a good story, and there we go. Good writing by John Logan.
So. Good job, John Logan.
Happy birthday, and well done. Keep up the great work.
Logan, it is good to run. You must run.
Do we know, did he write anything else? Like, should I look that up really quick?
You can look it up. Because
If he's written anything else that we enjoy.
Why not? Why the heck not? We should do that. We have the power.
He wrote the Last Samurai.
Oh, I was hoping for something called The Rat Last.
He wrote Gladiator.
Oh, God, what?
What?
That's awesome.
He wrote,
Are you not entertained? Oh, sorry. That's my Maximus.
He wrote Skyfall, Sweeney Todd, Rango, Hugo.
Good Lord.
Penny. He's a writer for Penny Dreadful. He's writing the next two James Bond films.
That's great.
Any Given Sunday. His first movie was, he wrote Tornado! Exclamation point.
Oh no, Tornado.
Followed 3 years later by Bats.
Bats. Hold on. Is that streaming? Because FilmSack is calling. Good Lord. Bats.
Which one, Tornado or Bats?
Bats. I want to see Bats. I really do.
1999's Bats.
All right, I'm in. No, that seems prolific to me. Seems like he's doing just fine out there in the world of screenwriting.
Genetically mutated bats escape, and it's up to a bat expert and the local sheriff to stop them. Starring Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yes.
And Dina Meyer. Yes. Oh, why aren't we watching this for FilmSack?
See what I mean? Lou Diamond Phillips.
Was that before or after Nemesis?
Before.
That's before, because that's 1999. Yep. Nemesis was 2000.
Wow.
What was Nemesis
was 2002.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember it came out. Lord of the Rings, the weekend of Lord of the Rings. And I remember thinking, what are you doing, Star Trek? Why would you do that? Why would you open that same weekend?
Right, right.
And they got decimated as a result. I think that's why people don't like it. They think it just sucked because no one saw it, but it's not why. It was actually good. It's just you don't open your movie when Lord of the Rings opens.
Right.
It's like Paramount went, oh, we don't think that's going to do very well.
What can we put up against Star Wars Episode 7?
Yeah, what do you think? Because you know something will open then.
Well, something has to, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be some, you know, like some Ray Charles biopic or something like that. That, you know, there has to be something that nobody who wants to see Star Wars is going to want to see. And nobody who sees that is going to want to see Star Wars.
Exactly.
It was scheduled to be Star Trek, but they moved it.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, really.
Bats is not streaming.
Oh.
And Netflix's best guess for me, 1.1 stars.
Great. It must be real bad. It's probably real bad.
It's really
not
bad,
a good time for Lou Diamond Phillips.
No.
Although he's great in freaking Young Guns? No, the thing that's on now that just got canceled by A&E and everyone's up in arms about it. Longmire.
The sheriff one. Longmire, yeah.
Yeah, that need they there's some rumor someone's going to pick it up, and they totally should. That show is really, really good. Katie Sackhoff, great in that. Yeah, they don't need to cancel that. A&E, you're idiots. What, are you getting too much money for all your hoarder shows? Is that what's happening, you big jerks?
Well, probably, yeah.
All right. I'll talk about that later. I got something. Okay. You just reminded me of something. I'll bring it up later. Daniel in Atlanta, you writing that down? I'll talk about it later and then won't. You got that one? Okay. Daryl, back to the question. You got this Mirror Mirror and The Children Shall Lead, Day of the Dove, or By Any Other Name. Which clip or which show or which episode is the owner of that clip?
Well, this is... I thought it was going to be a hard one because that didn't sound familiar, but that makes it easier because I hardly ever watched that stupid episode.
Mm.
The one where the kids shake their fists on their hands and control the Enterprise crew.
Right. Those are all the... Yeah, it was kids doing that.
If you see the video, this is what they do.
That's,
and that magically allows them to control everyone.
It's terrible.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, rock, paper, scissors, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a proven method, man.
So I'll have to say, and the children shall lead.
All right, well, let's find out if Daryl is right and gets a three-peat this week with his correct answers. Is that correct?
Congratulations.
Woo-hoo!
You're a winner.
You did it, and the children shall lead is the proper answer. The crew brings some, or as he wrote, smome children aboard, and these children start to take over the ship. They make Chekhov think Starfleet has ordered his homies Kirk and Spock to be arrested. That is thus how it ends. What a dumb episode. What a good job Daryl did. Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter. He's also on the show This Week in Trek at ThisWeekinTrek.com and part of the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, why don't you now play a game with us, which is, let me guess, probably something to do with, what's it been? I just forgot.
Star Trek game or actual goose.
Or actual goose, right. Is it still that? We're doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go.
Come on, Parisi squares, Parisi squares.
Yeah.
Don't I get a little theme or something?
Oh, sorry. Here's your theme. That's a good point. Let's see. I just here you go.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
All right, there you go.
Okay, Terrace.
Terrace?
Oh, sorry. Terrace. Terrace goose or Star Trek thing?
Can we get a spelling on that one?
T-E-R-R-A-C-E.
Oh, like as in like you'll find the patio furniture out on the terrace.
Yeah.
You'll find all your clothes and belongings out on the terrace.
Hey, don't you guys hate the term chaise lounge? Don't you hate it?
We talked about that yesterday.
I know, but don't you hate... No, we didn't on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked about it on Twitter a bunch. I don't remember bringing it up here, did I?
Yeah, we even found the correct pronunciation.
Oh, we did.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking that was all on... yes.
That was all a dream.
I did. Whatever. The wedding has blocked half my short-term memory.
Wow.
I don't know what's... Who am I? Who are
wedding,
you?
Wedding brain. So, Terrace.
Terrace.
I'm...
Star Trek what, though? What was the
Star Trek game?
Game.
Yeah.
Terrace. I think Terrace. It's going to be a goose.
I think so, too. Like a Terrace goose or a...
Because that doesn't even sound interesting on TV. Like,
no.
Oh, we're playing a game of Terrace, Captain.
A game called Terrace.
Yeah. What does it involve? Hanging out on a chair someplace?
We pave.
Yeah.
Pave somebody's patio.
Yeah, and the sun doesn't really see you very well. It's covered. All right. So, Daryl, we say goose.
Okay. Terrace is an actual game made by Herbco International in 1991 and used as set decoration on TNG.
Cheating, cheater, cheat, McCheaty pants, because that's a real game. And they cheated.
But they used it on Star Trek.
Yeah, I guess that counts.
It counts.
We'll let this
set
one
decoration.
Go.
So I'm guessing it's like a, that sounds familiar now, like the game, the actual game Terrace.
The actual game Terrace? Mm-hmm. I've never heard of it. I wonder what the objective is. To hang up on Daryl before he has a chance to respond.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Ooh, look, it's the news.
And it's brought to you to in support of or by to support She couldn't figure out a good lead in. Yeah. Support the Shoot the Moon documentary at HTTP. Oh, come on now. bit.ly/shootthemoondoc. That's bit.ly/shootthemoondoc.
Yeah, I want to see this made. It's super cool. A listener of the show is working on the documentary. It was spread all over the internet yesterday. The Verge carried it and a bunch of others. It's all about the building of a space elevator.
Oh, really?
That's actually happening. Yeah, and they're documenting it, and it looks rad.
How far will this thing go?
I don't know. That part I do not know. I'll bet the documentary gets into that, is my guess. It seems really cool, and I like cool stuff like that. Also, Squarespace.com is sponsoring the show as well. Did you know that you can go there and try it for free? It's not like most website creator tools where you got to go in there and they're like, hey, yeah, you got a free 7 days or something, but you got to give us your credit card and we're going to just auto bill that unless you tell us not to. I hate that. That's mm-hmm. just to me, that's just a weird lack of trust and also a lack of trust in your own product. If you're willing to give me a free trial, let me have it for free for real. Trust that your stuff is cool enough that I might actually like it. And not some weird trickery where you're still going to have my credit card and possibly do it and hope I didn't notice.
Like, I'm going to pay. Oh, but if you don't like it, you'll get your money back.
Yeah. And I guess, I guess if I had to say my favorite thing about Squarespace, I mean, I love the templates. I love the tools. I love the ease of use. I love all those things. Getting a free domain with every account, all that stuff is awesome. I just like the fact that they're confident enough in their own product to let me try it and let me decide what I want to do. And that goes a huge long way for me in this day and age where, you know, everybody wants your money. It's nice for them to do that, and it's really appreciated. So we're going to show a little appreciation back by saying, look, if you're going to go over there and try it out, and if you decide you like it and you want to build your website there, use the code MORNING at checkout for 10% off your account. That's MORNING at checkout for 10% off. And, you know, their slogan goes like this, and I love it. A better web begins with your website. At squarespace.com and the code MORNING. All right, let's get to the news here. The three-boobed lady, the one we talked about yesterday.
Yes, yes.
She might be part of a giant fraud.
Might be?
Might be. probably Isby. Isby.
Yeah, Isby.
Isby. Isn't he the groundskeeper at Starfleet, Isby? Or is it Isby. Boothby, I guess.
Boothby, right.
Jasmine Tri-Devil's site is linked to a woman who has been charged with fraud in the past. Snopes also reports that the Tri-Devil's domain is registered to Alicia Hessler, who runs a massage parlor in Florida called Golden Touch, which boasts that it is a, quote, provider of internet hoaxes since 2014 and a, quote, specialist in massage for three-breasted women.
Well, there you go.
Burn it, burn it, burn it, burn. It's all bullcrap. No doctor did it.
Some well-done photoshopping, I gotta say that.
Yeah. Well, she's never given us the full Monty there, though. We don't
know. Well, no.
And not and that none I'm asking of the video, her to, but.
Right, none of the video actually showed even the cleavage, I don't think. I think it was like, if you saw cleavage, it was in a static photo.
Yeah, the only video we got really that was outside of her weird Q&A thing with the mint chocolate ice cream was her in a room, this red-walled room with horrible music playing, and her quietly, creepily looking into a mirror and taking a selfie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
That reminded me of like every David Lynch movie I've ever seen.
Yes, right.
Anyway,
it's Buffalo Bob dancing to whatever in the middle of Silence of the Lambs.
Putting exactly the lotion on the skin.
That's right. Exactly.
Let's see. There was some other talk about. Let me skip ahead here. A Florida woman. Oh, there's also some talk that it was stolen. Somebody stole the middle boob. Really? It's all crap. We have been punked. The whole world has been punked by this.
So basically, she has an entire, not just like a cutlet, but yeah, like an entire boob that she can basically staple to her chest.
Yeah, a cutlet. Nice, nicely visual.
Well, those are those things that's what they're actually called.
Yeah, it looks like it's all bull crap. So
yeah,
we've all been fooled by this dumb idea.
Mm-hmm. So you can't, yeah, fool me once.
Yeah, how's the phrase go?
Shame
well, on them.
I'm not going to get fooled again, is what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you. All right, well, there's that. Oh, iPhone 6s and iPhone 6 Plus units. Sorry, Richard, to get a little story here for you. But you know what? This is actually I want to, well, maybe I should wait for Tom for this. I want to talk to him about the bending thing. Yeah, I'm saving that for Tom.
Yeah, it'll definitely save it for Tom. I want to find out about that too.
Don't let me forget to bring it up because I'm kind of irritated by it, and I'm not for the reasons you'd think. And also, they've been testing some Android phones in the same way, and I just think the whole thing is super, super stupid. But we'll get to that when he gets on here.
Okay.
But here's this story: iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus units have been reportedly smuggled into China in Twinkie boxes.
Ah, oh, that's where mine is.
Right. Well, who knew the market for Twinkies was still so strong in China?
Good thing Twinkies came back, right?
Yeah. It says here, this article on digitaltrends.com. I assume that they cover digital trends.
That's a guess. I don't know. It could be a food blog.
Could be anything. Here at Digital Trends, we're going to make a nice souffle. Even though the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus saw strong sales over the weekend, strong is an understatement. They sold 10 million of the damn things.
Right.
That broke every record ever. Both models have yet to go officially on sale in China. The Chinese government hasn't issued regulatory approval for the new iPhones. As a result, some Chinese citizens came up with a unique method to smuggle these phones into their new homeland or into their homeland. Some smugglers have resorted to removing Twinkies from their packaging, replacing the delicious yellow sponge cakes. Is this sponsored by Hostess? Jeez.
The delicious yellow sponge cakes.
with iPhone 6 and 6 Plus units, this is how big are, geez, how big are the Twinkies over there? Because that 6 Plus is way bigger than a Twinkie.
They could basically fit one iPhone Plus in a single Twinkie box.
I guess so. This is reported by CNBC reporter Eunice Yoon. That's a great name. Eunice Yoon. According to Yoon, other methods of smuggling new iPhones into the country involve placing them in coffee tins and toothpaste boxes. So how big are your toothpaste boxes, man? Seriously. Well,
and how – right, exactly. And how heavy are your Twinkies for them not to be able to notice that, wow, why is this box of Twinkies like 43 pounds?
Hey, Mom, how come this box of Twinkies weighs so much? Just open it and eat it.
They are, it's a weird deal, and I don't know why you would do that. There's some, it's funny because, when I was in China and in Hong Kong for that time that I was there, we went down to the little markety place where you could just buy a lot of stuff, and I was shocked how much really authentic looking knockoff stuff there was. But I always wondered how much of that stuff was actually knockoff and how much of it was actually real. So I picked up a PlayStation 2 controller there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was like $2. I'm like, yeah, right. I'll buy that brand new. Got it home, worked great, never had a problem with it, totally had rumble, had all the whatever, looked authentic, felt exactly the same as the other two controllers I had, or three, I guess I had at the time, so we had four total. And I still, to this day, think that may have been like a stolen actual Sony controller.
Oh, really?
And not some knockoff, yeah.
Smuggled in a box of ding-dongs
or
something.
Yeah, box of ding-dongs, because they're black, you know, and ding-dongs aren't smuggled in black. Anyway, that's the thing going on. We are sponsored today by our good friends at the Texas Beard Company.
Yay!
That's right, folks. Texas Beard Company, all natural man-made beard care products. I had to make the fart sound to reset my voice there. They make it. It's awesome. It's great. And I love the site. If you go there, texasbeard.com, there's just a little bit of Americana bleeding off that page, man. It just feels right. Mm-hmm. Something about it. And they're showing off some sweet beards. Last night I noticed lots of beards at the wedding, and I noticed a couple of them that could have used some products.
Oh, really? Maybe a little bit of tending, beard tending?
Yeah, just a little bit. They should have gone to the Texas Beard Company. Great for any beard, Gandalf style, or if you're just getting little peach fuzz like Nick on his lip. You're going to start shaving that thing. Much less itchy and much softer for manly scents. Oh, it's awesome, dude. Just go get your beard taken care of. And when you go, let's save you some money. Go to texasbeard.com. That's texasbeard.com. Use the coupon code MORNINGBEARD. MORNINGBEARD. One word. At checkout, you get 20% off your entire order. And don't forget, if you have an order over $25, free shipping in the U.S., no matter where you live in the U.S. That's MORNINGBEARD at checkout for 20% off at texasbeard.com. I recommend it.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Oh, that song is so stupid. This this part of the show is brought to you by someone.
Yes, it's brought to you by the AIE Fundraiser and Gaming Marathon. This is a great thing to support. Support gaming and communication and fun among the AIE Guild.
Yeah. Here's a link for you, by the way. It's bit.ly/... Or bit.ly, I guess, /AGOG2014. AGOG 2014.
Agog 2014.
Yeah, Agog 2014 is exactly right. And you can buy stuff to support it. Now, basically, you can buy slots in the gaming marathon, other swag packages. The goal here...
That link does not work. Are you sure it's AGOG?
Well, that's what he said. Let's see. Better yet, you know what? The faster way to do this? Go to AIE-guild.org, and the very top post is all about this. So it'll take you everywhere you need to go. And it talks about the AIE Guild in at BlizzCon and how we're going to pay for that. I mean, it's just a great way for guild members to pitch in and be a part of this thing. So go to AIE-guild.org, and you'll be sent in all the right directions. And frogpants.com/store is where the actual packages are. So if you want to just jump straight there, you can do that. All the money goes to the guild. None of it goes to me. We're just using my store as a front. Well, that sounded illegal, didn't it?
Using my store as a front. Well,
let me say that again. It is a front end because the tools are there, and then all of the proceeds go to the guild. None of it goes to me. I am hosting that for freebies. All right, so go there. All right, let's get to the news in the celebrity style here. True Detective. We talked about how they got the Colin Farrell to be in their little mom and pop show there, and now it's confirmed that Vince Vaughn will be his co-star.
Vince Vaughn, really?
Yeah, right?
That's an interesting combo there.
Let that settle in. Now, I remember when Vince Vaughn was on the scene, the first on the scene there in the early days of his film career, and everybody thought he was going to be the next great thespian actor of our day. He was being raved about by everybody who ever uttered his name. And then things got weird. Like, he got kind of paunchy and slow, and nobody seemed to talk about him as much anymore. But I've always thought he's a fine actor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe too many comedies to know about the drama side, but he's good.
His delivery is very improvisational. Like, a lot of the times when he's delivering lines, you think that they're kind of off the cuff, and they may be. It may be sure. That he's just so good at what he does that he can do that embellishment to the written word with his own improvisational stuff. But
what was the Will Ferrell movie he was in with?
Old School.
Oh, is it Old School? I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Gosh dang it, that was funny. Well, he's in this, and Twitter flooded with reactions. As let me tell you something that's kind of surprising, Brian. Twitter freaked out. I know that seems crazy.
No way. You mean people got crazy about things on Twitter?
Yeah, said things they maybe wouldn't say otherwise, or wouldn't say unless they were, you know, anonymous, things like that. I know it seems crazy, but this is the world we live in. Some are excited to see the two movie actors, while others don't like the casting choices at all. Among those who support Farrell and Vaughn's casting is Tierney Bricker, who wrote, Colin Farrell plus Vince Vaughn equals Wedding Crashers 2. JK, it's True Detective Season 2. But I wouldn't have been down for the other two. Okay, that guy's an idiot.
I don't understand, yeah.
Rami Zebra tweeted this. Oh, I love when articles just pull out people's tweets.
Quote, they do so well with it.
Yes, my dream has come true. Vince Vaughn just confirmed for True Detective Season 2. You're like a poet, man. And then a bunch of people hate the idea. So whatever. It's going to be great. I'm not worried about, honestly, this casting is less important to me than the tone and the writing.
Right, exactly.
Because that's what made that first thing great and let those stars shine. I mean, Woody and freaking All Right, All Right, All Right were amazing. What an amazing show.
Well, and I think that it's all in the matter of directing. It's all in the matter of writing. That show has got such a great flavor to it that I don't think we're going to see the comedian Vince Vaughn. I think we're going to see the darker, you know, maybe the Gus Van Sant psycho Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, a little bit. This one. doing that thing he was doing with his eye in the hole there. Remember that?
Ugh. Right. Oh, right. Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, that'll be good. Do you think Colin Farrell goes Irish, or do you think they just make him American accent?
Oh, I don't know. That's an interesting question.
If it's in L.A. or wherever it's supposed to be set, I don't know what to expect. I mean, one of the things I liked about True Detective is it felt like it could have been set in the 50s in a weird way.
Right.
I hope that they retain that. I really like that feeling of it, even though it was clearly modern day and, you know, it was 90s and then flashbacks from the 2000s, but spoiler. But I don't know if that's a spoiler.
No, I like that. I think
that should continue. Do you
agree? That should continue, that flavor, that kind of, you know, could have been any time flavor.
Mm-hmm. I like any time flavor.
What was the guy, Pierce, Russell, Crow.
Oh, L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Confidential. Kind of had that feel to it.
Yeah, I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in so long, I hardly remember it, but I remember loving it. All right, here's some news for you. Hackers threatened to leak nude photos of actress Emma Thompson, Watson. Sorry.
Two very different
Very people. Different Emmas. They're both, but they were both in
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Hermione got up and did this this United Nations talk about urging men to join the fight for gender equality. Can I just make a quick complaint?
Sure.
Just because you're in Harry Potter or Who Ate Gilbert's Grapes doesn't make you an expert on anything. Now, I really liked her speech. I think it was great. And the sentiment of it, I think it was awesome. I'm in agreement. I think it's great. But I have never been down with this idea that because you were Spicoli in that stupid, what was that movie? Help me here.
Fast Times at
Ridgemont. Fast Times at Ridgemont. Just because you're that guy does not make you an expert on U.S.-Iranian relations or whatever it may be. I hate that we put our actors in a place where suddenly they are great. Someone needs to argue this with me because I need to see the other side of it. Why are they qualified to be any of this thing?
Well,
Brian, help me with it.
This is a different case because it's not like Sean Penn was personally affected, like directly affected by the things that he was protesting. He was protesting, you know, what was it? It was like, I'm trying to remember, it was treatment of people in...
maybe in Guantanamo or something.
Why am I thinking Nepal? Like there was some Nepali thing that he was...
Could have been, because didn't he get kicked out of there? Or was that Brad Pitt?
I can't remember. But but Emma Watson is directly affected by this. This was her privacy that was violated. Now,
well, hold on, though. But the thing is, this has nothing to do with that, though. This is just her being invited to come talk about it. She hasn't had any nude photos released. This is all after the fact.
Oh, gotcha.
So this isn't her getting up and saying gender equality because they stole my naked photos.
And before we go any further, this is a viral fake story, viral hoax thing. Let me give you a link.
Oh, that's not good. It is
Emma Watson nude photo threat was a marketing stunt to shut down 4chan.
Oh, really?
I'm putting it in Skype. Yeah.
A marketing stunt?
A marketing stunt to shut down 4chan.
All right, let's take this. Oh, yeah, you're right. Shut down 4chan. Okay, so there is no threat of a nude photo leak. All right, fine. So that is no longer a story. I'm down. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But because that's not the story to me. The story to me is you're Hermione Granger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or you're, more importantly, like she's not the only one that spoke at the UN. You got, what's his name? Leonardo DiCaprio up there with his horrible beard. That's a side note. He needs to go to TexasBeard.com.
Right.
That thing is awful. but what is it that qualifies him to speak at the UN? That's where my issue is here.
Yeah, I could see that. Well,
they're great actors. I enjoy them. They provide hours of entertainment.
But who...
I don't get this thing where they are our ambassadors of light.
Who would you authorize then to speak on this?
Experts in the area that they're speaking on. People who know a ton about gender equality and race relations and economic this or that. They might be boring. They might be experts in things that aren't very fun to talk about, or they're not pretty people. But why? But I would still prefer that over this. Because this is... I don't want to be totally naive on this. The reason you get Emma Watson or Leonardo DiCaprio or whoever up there is because they are internationally known.
Mm-hmm.
They have recognizable faces.
They'll bring some attention to this from people who normally wouldn't give it the time of day.
And maybe my cynicism is dented a bit with that, because that is actually, I guess if you got to get as much attention as you can, then you do what you have to do to get it, and this is maybe a way to do that. Okay, sure. I will concede that. But I don't get the whole... Oh, Spicoli is going to save us. I just don't get it. He's just another guy. Dude, they're all taking a dump at once a day or so. They're all putting their pants on the same way as we do. They're just people that happen to be actors, and therefore, at the UN, Brian, that's like saying, hey, Brian, you're on a popular music podcast. We'd like you to host the Grammys.
Well, at least that part's kind of connected.
That part's connected, sure. Or that's not even a good example. I'm sorry. You should host the Grammys. Let me back this up. This would be like them saying, Brian, you need to host the next G8 summit.
Okay, there you go. That would be.
Yeah.
That would. I see what you're saying.
Chairman Ibbett now yields the floor to the gentleman from Japan. But it doesn't make any. This is not. I hope what I'm saying makes sense. And if people really want to defend this, email us themorningstream@gmail.com because I don't understand it.
Well, when Fox kind of sums up, actually more eloquently explains what I was trying to say. Having someone famous speak on a subject brings more attention to the subject. People tend to listen to a famous person more than an expert would. Or more than they would an expert. Oftentimes, experts are not necessarily good speakers, and it's the same reason you get someone famous to do a commercial.
Right. I guess I could see that.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I guess I could see that, but it still bugs me. All right. Well, enough of that.
Castrick says, entertainment people have brains.
I really like to know. HelloFresh.com has a good brain because they just opened up their service to the entire freaking country. Good gosh, it's just insane and it's amazing. HelloFresh.com is the place. I want you to go there right now. I want you to go there and I want you to look at the recipes they have lined up this week. It's amazing stuff. Freaking, I get tortured every time I see somebody else eating this stuff and I got to hurry up and turn around and get one coming to me. Mm-hmm. I love them. I love them. Make cooking fun again. Each and every week, their chefs make delicious recipes. You pick what you like and those farm fresh ingredients are at your damn door. I mean, it's as simple as that. 30 minutes later, boom. You're the head of the party, of your date, of your life, of your family, your whatever. It's amazing. MorningStream at checkout for 50% off for first-time customers. Go be a first-time customer at HelloFresh.com and use that code, MorningStream, 50% off. Brian, let's take a break. When we come back, there'll be Nicole and there'll be Tom here. And that'll be fun because that's Wednesday.
Yes.
But you've got music and we're going to play it now.
I do. Hey there, Bot and Spigot.
Yeah.
Longtime listener, Sweeney Toad here. Next Wednesday, today, I'm due to have a cesarean section in order to welcome the next tadpooler into the world. He or she is stubborn and doesn't want to turn and would love to commemorate the occasion with a tune. I'll be in the hospital likely until Saturday, so either Wednesday or Thursday would be fine or the next Monday if you don't have the room. I know there are lots of songs about baby boys and girls, but since this one is a surprise, that might make the choice difficult. So as long as it isn't that Zeus Forsaken Creed song, I think we'd be happy.
All right.
Can't wait to introduce you to the newest Flaherty, guys, going with the new baby Flo-Yo, Adele, not Dazeem, nor the singer.
Nice.
So this one, I basically did a big search through my cover library for any song that contained the word baby, and then I started listening to them to kind of pick out one that I thought would be good. And for whatever reason, this one connected with me. Maybe it's the fact that we're going to be seeing the movie this weekend for FilmSack where this song originated. The song is Baby Elephant Walk, and it's performed by a group called The Jigsaw Scene from a 1996 really cool compilation called Shots in the Dark. It was a tribute to the music of Henry Mancini with covers by new rock and pop artists. Really, really cool. Definitely worth picking up.
Right.
A lot of great instrumentals on there, and I think Rose McGowan, if I'm remembering the album cover correctly, was like a really early photo session with Rose McGowan.
Oh, weird. One leg machine gun McGowan.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Got her.
Anyway, originally from the movie Hatari, which we're going to be watching for FilmSack, here is Baby Elephant Walk from the Jigsaw Scene. Maybe you could listen to this and play some Crazy Climber.
Sounds good to me. Oh, don't remind me. I love that game. there it is then. By the way, that should be on a Vita because the Vita's got the two sticks. What the hell are we doing
perfect.
Here?
That would be a perfect Vita game.
Yeah. Why not? Why is that not happening, mm-hmm. Sony? Get on that. Or also, I'd play a new Wipeout game if you gave me one. All right, here it is. Baby Elephant Walk. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
at Lens Crafters, people ask how we make even bifocals in about an hour. Simple. Instead of sending to a faraway lab, we custom grind lenses right in the store. Listen.
We went for a walk, came back in an hour. My two pair of frames with bifocals were ready.
Even though it was an O-line bifocal, they made it for me in an hour's time.
I even got bifocals within an hour.
Come watch us make your glasses in about an hour. Call for an eye exam or bring your prescription. Lens Crafters, Eastview Mall next to McCurdy's.
Oh, this is comical.
The sensation of Europe, now made in America by Samsonite. This is The Morning Stream.
Okay, we're back.
Listen to that third eagle cracking himself up.
I know, right?
Oh, this is comical.
Dude, he is into it.
oh, shock you, Larry.
Oh, this is comical.
He's just having a good time. Check it out.
Because the leopard has four heads and four wings.
Duh. We knew that.
Four heads and four
good
wings.
Good for them. That's not the real problem.
No, it's not.
Oh, this is comical.
Okay.
I guess that's supposed to be some kind of a joke.
What a dork.
He is the gift that keeps on giving.
You know, it's true.
So many good clips.
Whoa, don't do that.
There's so many good clips that come out of that guy.
He's the best. Don't ever go changing, buddy. Mm-hmm. We love you. Okay, it is time for us to now do what we do next. And that is to call Nicole and put her on this here show and talk about things she's watched this week. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I got to find her a little theme here. Here it is. Check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, sidle on up to the bar and welcome us welcoming Nicole to the welcoming show that we're on right now. Hi, Nicole.
Welcome.
It's so nice to see you. My favorite Wednesday thing ever is having Nicole and Tom on. It's just a good thing for a Wednesday. It's good to have you on. How are you anyway?
Oh, not too bad.
Yeah.
You know,
good.
Keeping it real.
I was just talking to some fellow Arizonans. My brother and his wife and my niece were all out here for the wedding. And she mentioned.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They live here.
Yeah. And they mentioned, we're about to enter our best part of the year as far as the weather goes, right? Aren't you excited? Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Not going to be so sweaty anymore.
Humid, you know, monsoons are gone.
Yeah.
How long does this season last? Like this perfect time to be in Arizona last?
About 9 months.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's through the winter.
Nice. So winter is our awesome. It's their, well, I don't know what I'm trying to say. They have a better winter than we do. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Our winter sucks giant horse butts. Nicole.
Down.
Yes, indeed. Hey, it's good to have you on. And by the way, Taylor, on their way out, was screaming from her car yesterday. Tell Nicole I said thank you for all the rad stuff.
You're welcome,
you
Taylor.
You were beyond generous. My gosh.
I really wanted to go, but, stuff's going on with work and things. So I just applied, the airline ticket.
It was brilliant. That was so nice. My gosh. You just made them so freaking happy.
Oh,
so
good.
Big thank you for that. Everybody.
Lovely couple.
Now they got a lot to prove. They got a lot to hold up to. Gosh dang it. They got all this freaking cash and all this stuff from everybody.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to take the stuff and run.
Just take it and run. Run to California. That's right.
Get started.
Yeah.
Two things.
Yeah.
I think this is my theory on the three-boobed woman.
Yes.
It's a publicity stunt for American Horror Story. The new season starts October 2nd, and there is a three-boobed woman.
But it's so low rent, though. Like, I agree with you that that's possible, except it just seems so back alley. Yeah,
that's where they got the idea, because the previews for Freak Show have been out, and it's Angela Bassett who has the three boobs.
I like Angela Bassett.
Mm-hmm. She was great in the last season too.
Yeah, she was amazing. So I love that show so much.
Are you? You're pretty excited then about a new season?
I'm way excited. I've been watching every little teaser trailer they've been dropping.
I still haven't seen second or third season. I probably should get on that. See what's what.
Streaming Netflix
was too good. Everyone kept saying avoid two, but
two. I finished two, so that was The Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it hits so close to home on a lot of fronts,
yeah.
mean, we're not that far removed from that kind of treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some supernatural sci-fi things that happen.
Yeah. But it was more like, ugh, this is just torturous.
I found it easier to watch in bursts. Mm. So I would watch like 3 or 4 at a time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as frustrating or, I don't know the word.
And this new one's all about like people with like 3 boobs. I mean, it's like freak show.
That's what it's called.
Is it
a circus? Is it a?
It's like a circus sideshow thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and what's her face? The main lady that usually Jessica Lange. She's running the freak show.
Really?
So she's like the head of.
Is it a different timeline or?
It's like Carnival times.
Oh, you know, she's around Carnival. For that? Like she's. I don't understand her. Is she a Time Lord?
So 1940s, 19...
Well, no, it's a different character every time. Yeah. She doesn't play the same character in every season. It's the same actors. They take everybody, all the actors, put them in a big box, shuffle them around a little bit, and then give them new parts.
Well,
and,
except for some of the main ones, right? Like, she's the
consistent... No, they're always different. They're always different.
So Dermot McRoney's not in it. Or Dermot McDermott.
He only did Murder House the first season.
Right. He burned his wiener on the stove. That's the one. Right. I guess I haven't seen season 2 would have cleared this up for me, I suppose. So maybe I should
watch it. This show is so interesting because you will, if you start it at the beginning, you will get a final at the end of the season. They only do one season. Yeah. So it's a very start and stop kind of storyline, which is really nice.
Yeah. Well, I want to check it out.
You should. It looks freaky.
Yeah. And on the other, that little clip that they show, that little trailer thing with the screaming face. Holy crap, that's...
Did you see the clown yet?
Ooh. I think that's the one I'm talking about. The one with the sharp grin. Teeth.
The grin? Yeah.
Yes.
Ugh. Creepy. Anyway, I can't wait. October 2nd. The other note, I just want to say you are smoking something with this whole Emma Watson thing.
You think I'm smoking something? Well, here's the thing.
No. You already said your piece.
No. I just want to make it. I want to make this super clear. I don't have a problem specifically with Emma Watson.
I know.
It's the overall thing.
Do you know what she's speaking for? Right.
Yeah, she's speaking for gender equality at the UN.
She's speaking for an organization called He for She.
Yeah.
She's talking to you.
Yeah.
As a male.
Yeah.
To get involved in saying we stand for just equality among all genders.
Sure. No, I got that.
And she's using her celebrity to get that message out.
No, you're exactly right. That's exactly what's happening.
She is an expert on being a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, she is a woman. Absolutely, she is. But I'm not saying she's not even, in her case, I feel like it's a little bit of a harder deal because she actually kind of is qualified in lots of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really my bigger issue. My main issue is why is Leonardo DiCaprio talking to anybody about anything? Like, he's a fine actor. He's good.
Who would you pick?
Well, I don't know. I guess, hey, Leo, get off your freaking yacht with your 5 lady friends that are all naked and topless in this TMZ photo.
He has a fortunate life and he wants to give back.
I guess that's one way of looking at it. I am super cynical about this particular issue.
I know. I'm trying to bring you down a little bit.
And I have been for a long time. It's not even new for me. It's like, I keep going back to Sean Penn for some reason because he's so out there about it. But, you know, Clooney does it. A bunch of people do it.
People like purpose in their life. And if they feel like they have, I mean, I think if a person feels they don't have a purpose and they're in this superficial world,
we've just inflated their station, though, is what I'm saying. Don't you think?
But I think they're trying to use their position for good.
Right.
And I think that's an important thing.
I agree with that. And if, you know what, if you can do some good, sure. You're totally right about all that. I think the cynicism is more about why people
do what they do.
It's a weird form of kind of people worship. We've put Leo DiCaprio in a place because he looks great on film. And it's like saying, hey, Scott, you sound good on the radio. You sound good on a podcast. So you're better than us. I don't know. I would not be comfortable with that. I don't like that feeling. So I don't understand it. I'm trying to get my head around the psychology of it. This is not about any specific anything. And people on Twitter are trying to make this about me not understanding gender issues.
I don't think it's a MacGuffin. You're more confused about what motivates somebody to do this and why would they put themselves in a position like this.
Well, less about their motivation or more about everyone else's thinking that's a great catch, you guys. Hey, guess who we got for the UN speech? Freaking Leo DiCaprio and his stupid beard. Woo! Like,
but if you just look at it from a perspective of marketing, it starts to make sense.
Of course. Yeah. No, like I said before, it's obvious that there's cachet to it because they're well known and they can garner a lot of influence and attention. I totally get it.
Have you seen that documentary that Morgan Spurlock did where it was all about marketing?
Oh, where he's going to advertise all kinds of stuff on his body and
what was
whatever.
What's it called? Morgan?
I forgot.
This something for sale.
This film for sale.
The one where, right.
Yeah, this film for sale.
Yeah.
That was really a great documentary. He really looked at, I mean, there was a lot of tongue in cheek to it, but I can tell you, after we watched that movie, the pomegranate juice, Palm Wonderful sponsored. We went out and bought Palm Wonderful.
You did, really?
Yeah, because Mark wanted to try it.
That's amazing.
And he was like, "Oh my gosh, it's one of his favorite drinks now. It's so funny."
I'll fully admit, I probably could be brought down from this tree I've climbed on this issue if someone could just. I don't know. It's not even like it's a problem. It's like, hey, did they bring some additional attention to a very important thing? Yeah. Great. I guess I'm just more weirded out by why that's happening with people that are just on our TVs and stuff.
That's been happening forever.
It's true.
We as a society, this would be a great topic for Wendy to talk to
you
about.
It really would be. In fact, I'm writing this down.
We as a society, I was just watching the Lego movie.
Yeah.
And how the main Lego, he's just normal. But he might be special. And we all like to feel like we're a little different. We're a little unique. We're a little special.
Yeah.
So,
and we like to put people who we think are special on crazy weird pedestals.
Yeah. And some people take advantage of that, unfortunately.
They do.
Some people don't.
Some people don't. You're right. Some people, you know, are real quiet about it. Some people are real loud about it. Some people burn out early. Some people last an entire 70-year career, whatever.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of variability to it, but I just rather like to have a conversation with somebody not worry about what their celebrity status is.
Sure. Right.
And I want to see some expert get up there who maybe isn't pretty or on TV who actually has a ton to say about
a topic. Far less people will hear the message then.
And that sucks about us is what I'm saying. That's what sucks about this is, and it's not about who it is or why they're doing it. For me, the issue is why are some of us way more interested in how Leo says it than some scientist who might be a little on the boring side.
Did you happen to catch John Oliver's take on the Miss American pageant?
I've been hearing about this. No.
I posted it on my Facebook timeline. It is the best.
I hear it's pretty brilliant.
Because it's addressing what you're talking about here.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miss America, we are the largest provider of women's scholarships. And they say like 45 million, and they went through all of the documents. It's a fascinating watch. It's only 15 minutes. Just Google John Oliver, Miss America pageant. So smart. And he references other organizations that provide women's scholarships that don't base it off of outside beauty.
Yeah.
And there's like a handful, but they're not the largest funded because nobody donates to them. They're right. not seen. Right. So it's kind of playing into what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, this is good. I'm happy that we got a little extended discussion out of this.
Yeah, I was listening to you going, ah!
Yeah, I want to say things.
I want to say things. I'm talking to my computer.
He's not responding. You're not responding.
Well, I presume that you also streamed some things this week. What'd you get?
Some movies?
Yeah.
All right. So the theme for today will be family. Family. Because we're family, right?
We are family.
Yeah, in a pretty in a nice extended way.
Exactly.
When you're here, Nicole, we're family.
That's right. That's right. Free breadsticks for everyone. Yes.
I have a 2013 documentary for you called The Stories We Tell. This is a very fascinating documentary because I found after I watched it, I felt very... I looked inside. I kind of was very reflective in my own and how I hear stories, how I tell stories, how I interact with my family. So the premise of it is it's kind of telling a story of a family, and the young girl is kind of the center of it. And they joke around that, you know, she doesn't look like the rest of the siblings. And so they've always joked around. And it's a lot of old, like 8mm footage, telling the story of a husband and wife. They were actors and they live in Canada. And you're getting the perspective of the father. The mother, unfortunately died of cancer. So she's not telling a story. The daughter, and then her actual father. Mm. So it's really interesting. And then you also have a lot of interviews with the brothers and the sisters and kind of how they remember. And so I thought it was a really well put together kind of family telling of scandal and mystery and how one person may remember a story versus another person and how you kind of peel back the layers of this family and how complicated families can be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a really, really well done documentary.
That's interesting. So, and it's on, yeah. You say Netflix or Amazon? Netflix.
It's on Amazon.
Amazon. All right.
Is it on Netflix
too? It's on Netflix as well. Yeah. I'm seeing it right now as a streaming.
Watch the trailer. It'll tell you a lot of kind of the premise of it. So yeah, I had seen the trailer a long, long time ago, and I just noticed it had come out on streaming. So I was like, I wanted to watch that. And, it's a interesting story.
Well, so. I'm in. I like that
story
kind of stuff.
Crazy tell.
All right. We'll check it out. What's number two?
The next one is a lot less deep. Yeah. This one's a lighthearted comedy. It is the 2012 film, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Oh, my gosh. This is a movie I've never seen, but I want to say my...
I remember there was a book, and I thought for some reason, I thought the movie was like not necessarily a documentary, but like a nonfiction.
In fact, I went into this movie going, I'm not going to like it, but I'm curious about it because it looks stupid. It's a rom-com, right? It has Cameron Diaz in it, Jennifer Lopez, Elizabeth Banks, a few other people.
a whopping 22% on Rotten Tomatoes for that one.
It is our best guess for Brian, 2.1 stars.
Yeah, exactly.
But I actually laughed a number of times. I mean, maybe because I've gone through pregnancy and, you know, they're easy jokes, but, you know, sometimes you got to laugh at that stuff.
Impossibly, and this should be called Impossibly Hot Four Moms with Babies is what this should be called.
this had nominees at the Razzie Awards. Right. Worst Supporting Actress, you know, Jennifer Lopez.
Because I was just expecting it to be horrible when it wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Right.
Maybe that's what happened.
Hey, is Jennifer Lopez not actually aging at this point? She just...
she is.
She signed some deal with somebody because, man... She's so pretty and so...
She looks great, yeah.
She's old. I want to say she's my age. And that's... I'm not pretty. So, what's going on over there? She's got some good stuff going on. Anyway.
You do have a big badonkadonk, though, Scott.
I do, right? Well, I like that bass, not the treble. You know what I'm saying? I hate that song so much.
You guys... I don't know if you're going to be interested in this movie, but it was just an easy, funny... stupid movie. And if you're in the mood for one of those, like, there you go.
My wife and daughters are all into it. They love it. So
yeah.
Next time I'm sick on the couch and hallucinating, I will turn this on.
There you go.
Only hallucinating. All right, and cool. Number two. This is a weird sandwich of movies, but there's your meat. Yeah. What's our other bun?
Okay. So again, family. What family do you think of when you think of family?
The Griswolds.
Griswolds, the Simpsons,
the Kardashians.
When I say family, what do you think?
Oh,
family.
The Sopranos.
Oh, The Sopranos, which I'm watching right now. Yeah.
Family.
I am. I started just the other day with episode one. I've never seen it before at all, and I'm totally into it. So
yeah, it's streaming on Amazon Prime. All 6 seasons. Watch it ad free. Mm. There you go.
So good.
I mean, so as a new Soprano watcher, because I watched it when it was being released on HBO, I'm curious, how Have you been spoiled by any of it? Because you showed, I guess it was a link that Brushwood shared on Netflix. Like Netflix put together like a spoilers.
I love that thing. Is that actual Netflix or is that somebody else doing that? I couldn't tell.
It's Netflix.
It was Netflix. I saw that thing too.
It's awesome, dude.
A little chain of spoilers is like, I haven't seen that. Oh, I'm never going to see Revenge. I'm fine with seeing that.
Oh, I loved it. I really like it. It's a really cool idea. I just think it's an awesome little idea that somebody's hacking together. That makes me, you know what that did for me? That did more than just say, ooh, neat little utility. Thanks, Netflix. It said that Netflix is fostering some weird creative ideas in their company. Mm-hmm. And that is great when I see that happening. So I like that when Google does stuff like that, it's like this weird little Easter eggy thing that, you know, you didn't have to do, but somebody at their lunch hour went, wouldn't it be funny if we made just like a string of spoilers and that would be random and wouldn't that be great? And I loved it.
The first one that came up for me was Primal Fear.
Oh, good Lord.
Like, thank goodness I've seen that. But yeah, there was a movie that came up and they showed this spoiler. I'm like, I have to see this movie now. I've never seen this movie.
Oh, really? Ooh. What movie was it?
Mission Accomplished.
I can't remember, of course.
Mine was the end of Crying Game. So that was weird.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Usual Suspects was the first one for me.
I did like 20 of them, and Sopranos came. Did the Sopranos come up in it?
So maybe. The Sopranos is famous for having a notoriously ambiguous ending, right?
Right. So that's probably not the spoiler they showed, right? No. I'm guessing they showed the death of a major character.
I think so.
I'm not going to say anything more than that, but because it shouldn't be any surprise that characters will die in the Sopranos. Oh, yeah.
Is it Tony's irritating kid? It's not him, is it? Oh shit! No. I shouldn't have asked. All right, won't ask.
Have you heard of any of the spoilers? Have you gone this long without knowing?
I have not heard a thing. All I know is the ending of that show is difficult to describe, and nobody's quite sure what happened. And I'm totally fine with not knowing that and nothing else. So I'm going into this without knowing any of the characters' fates or anything that's going on. I've stayed completely spoiler-free on this show.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the ending. Again, the ending, it's no Breaking Bad ending. It's no Lost ending. It is an ending, right? And it's very ambiguous. So it's not like somebody's going to say, oh, did you see? Do you know what happens at the end of Sopranos? They're going to say, did you understand what happened at the end of Sopranos?
Right. Well, and I think it's left more to your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, I think there's directors out there that like to put the burden on the viewer on what they think happens.
Sure.
That was kind of like what happened with Snowpiercer at the end of Snowpiercer. By the way, have you read the books yet?
No.
No, but it did deliver. I've got the books sitting right here, as a matter of fact.
So. Read those books.
Are you telling me to watch the show first or the books first? I forgot.
Watch the movie first.
Okay. I still need to do that. I think this weekend is finally I'm going to have time to watch it. So that's what I'll do.
So, Nicole, was there any inspiration for this family topic for recommendals?
I've been sitting on this topic for about 4 weeks now, and I keep thinking.
So. I was going to guess that maybe over the weekend you saw This Is Where I Leave You.
No.
Which Jason Bateman, Tina Fey, Jane Fonda, Connie Britton, Timothy Olyphant. Really, really good. Well, I won't say really, really good. It's a good family get-together kind
cast.
Of film. Really, really good cast.
I haven't even seen this movie yet. It's in theater?
Dax Shepard. It is in the theaters. Came out this last weekend. Didn't do super well because I think there was some other stuff that it was up against. But very, you know, it's above average, kind of like Home for the Holidays, that Holly Hunter thing.
What'd you
very
call it
similar.
Again? What was the name?
It's called This Is Where I Leave You.
Oh, here it is. Yep.
And it's...
That's reviewing poorly, but that doesn't mean anything.
And they do tend to go to the well for a lot of tropey family things. Like you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember when they did that same kind of thing in this other movie.
Right.
However, everybody in there is so good that you kind of forget about that. Adam Driver, who's going to be in the next
Star Wars, right?
Star Wars.
Is he
in
that
in
girls
there.
Show that I can't
he
bear?
He is in that girls, okay. Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But Raylan Givens is in it.
I love him.
Coach, Coach's wife from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, from Connie season Britton. One of the American Horror Story there.
Yes.
Her husband Rose, almost burned his wiener on the thing.
Rose Byrne. Moira McTaggart is in there.
Tina Fey. This is great.
Yeah. Good cast. And
I'm a big fan of this kind of Family Stone style big
it's exactly
cast movie.
What I would compare it to. Because it is very, it's very like, all right, let's put all these characters together. Yeah. They're all a family. They're here for this one thing, this one reason that they're brought together. Jason Bateman is fantastic. Actually, Jason Bateman and Rose Byrne Their storyline is...
He's excellent, really impressing me with the role.
Oh, he is. He's so good.
Bad Words. Have you seen
No, not yet.
Jed?
Not yet. The Spelling Bee thing? No, that's on my list.
Watch it as soon as you can because it's a great movie.
Cool.
I really enjoyed it.
Hey, Nicole, guess who's in Family Stone just real quick?
Who?
Dermot McRoney. Just pointing that out.
Makes me feel like I should be recommending Big Chill. That's
kind of yeah. Cool. That's a good movie. I think this is a great selection
streaming
this week.
Too. Oh, The Big Chill. There you go.
All right. There's another recommendation. There's a fourth one. That's the dessert for today's sandwich dinner that you made.
Chill.
Nicole Spag, always a pleasure to hang around with. Nicole Spag on Twitter and so many other things going on. Yeah. Just follow her and watch.
Go
and
to recommendals. You'll find that link to the spoilers Netflix thing. It's spoilers.netflix.com.
So dirty
spoil yourself.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, me too. I love it. It's wonderful.
Really well done. Nicole, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye now. Yeah. All right.
Oh, we forgot Quizzlers.
Oh, Quizzlers. Hold on.
Quizzlers.
I'm glad I didn't hit that button yet. Okay, go.
Okay, here you go. Here's your Quizzler.
Wait, I have a theme for you. Hold on. I can't think of... Well, let's do this one.
Oh, this is comical.
All right, go ahead.
Here you go.
All right.
Roman is having an okay day and bought a Coke Zero at the gas station. Raised the roof. Who gives a rat's ass?
He got a Coke Zero again?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Is this the Paul Giamatti movie where they do, like, this the whole wine country thing?
Yeah, no, it sounds like... It does sound like What's-His-Face, though. Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely Hayden Church.
Whatever. Thomas Hayden Church. Yeah. Really good, yeah.
Okay.
You want to play it again?
Yeah, one more time.
Okay.
Roman is having an okay day and bought a Coke Zero at the gas station, raised the roof. Who gives a rat's ass?
He got a Coke Zero again?
Whatever it is, it's a great dig at social media.
Yeah. Someone's texting somebody or tweeting something. It seems like it's be newer then, and I don't know if I've seen him in anything new lately.
That's what I was going to say. I'm not 100% convinced it's Thomas Hayden Church. Yeah. Is it?
Teacher in this one.
He's a teacher.
Oh, is it bad teacher?
No.
He's a bad teacher. I don't know. I'm out of ideas.
The chat room got it. In fact, Phil Rod.
Oh, but that is Thomas Hayden Church, right?
Yeah, it is. He plays it.
Okay.
So Emma Stone was
the one. I forgot who was in that.
Yeah. It's a great, great movie. I love the dynamics. The reason why I picked it is because Emma Stone's family, I just love how they interact with her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I hope I can have a family like that. I know it's a movie, but it's a very endearing relationship.
It's,
movie,
yeah. It's the modernizing of the Scarlet Letter, right? Is that the way?
Yes.
It's,
pretty much.
Yeah.
And a more comedic take on the
right.
I think it's a cute movie.
Yeah, it's got J. Jonah Jameson in it, the dad there. I can't think of his name, though.
J.K. Simmons.
That guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic.
Is he the dad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Isn't he? Isn't he crazy?
No.
You're thinking of Juno.
It's
you know what? Am I thinking of Juno?
You are thinking of Juno.
No, let's see what I'm thinking of. Who is it? Oh, I know this. Hold on. Italian guys and everything. Super well regarded. Shite. Hold on. Tell me.
Stanley
Tucci.
Tucci.
Damn it. I knew it was Stanley Tucci. I just can't think of his name. All right, Nicole. Now we're done.
Okay, we're done.
Poor Brian and I, we suck. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Every time I hear Thomas Hayden Church, all I think of him is going, Joel, I don't think the plane's ready to fly today. Joel.
Oh, right.
Good stuff. I love Wings.
He was in that.
What, Wings? Oh, yeah.
No. I remember he was in Wings, okay. EZA.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Him and Shalhoub, man, did pretty good for themselves, you know?
Right.
It's funny, these two outcast stars on that show went on to be venerable
supporting actors.
You know?
Right, don't hear much from the two main guys, for sure.
Tim Daly and...
well done with him.
The
guy who was on the remake of The Shining that was on network TV.
Yeah, which was actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. That was all right. I still can't look at him the same, though, after Single White Female. He was the interest in that.
Shoe heel right in the forehead.
Yeah, I don't like that. Okay. Ooh, Tom time. Man, we were
Tom time.
I didn't realize how late we were running with Nicole. I apologize to Tom in advance, but we will bring him in.
Let's talk about Bendy Phone with Tom.
Yeah, I want to. I mean, he's probably got other stuff too, but I'm just real curious about one aspect of that story that's driving me crazy. So here's the little theme, Thamie.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt, and he comes on the show every Wednesday and talks about technology and the stories that shape our technological future. Tom Merritt, how's it going?
Technogial.
I can't talk today. So jacked up, I swear. Tom, before we go anywhere with this,
yes,
I got to ask this question. I'm irritated about this.
All right.
You're going to help me here. Here's the deal.
I'll try my best.
The weekend, or I guess it's not the weekend, the time between, I'd say, Sunday and today has been littered with stories about, oh, no, iPhone 6s are bending. They're bending in people's pockets. Oh, no. All right. As always seems to happen, a new device comes out from some manufacturer and immediately there's like, oh, the screens are blue, or there's
if the finger brushes the antenna, you'll drop a call.
Yeah, or whatever.
There's always a purple glow around my picture.
Yes. Yes, right. So there's always something. And this is the one for this time that it's bending. Now, as we all know, the phones are no longer double-sided glass. Instead, it's made to make them thinner. And the trade-off from the thinness is that you've now got this aluminum thing, and that helps it not be so heavy. But also, you know, aluminum is a more bendable metal than most metals. And they're super thin, and you're making a trade-off when you go thin. And a bunch of people have pointed out, well, hey, they're not the only ones. Here are the other phones that also bend if you sit on them in your back pocket. And I'm just frustrated that it's even a thing. Whether it's Apple or not, I don't even care. Like, there was someone who said, oh, the new Note thing will bend if you sit on it. Well, it's because you're sitting on your phone, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the problem here isn't, like, there's some weird manufacturing flaw that everybody should flock back to Samsung or Apple or whoever and go, I want my phone back, or I want my money back, because this bends when I sit on it. Quit sitting on it! Now, where do you stand on all this hubbub?
Scott. Just why don't you talk just be a shill for the corporations? Uh-huh. Just defend their ability to send us bendable electronics. I've been fighting for years against the bendability of my original Amazon Kindle.
Yeah. Right?
And they will not hear me. Also, my Timex Sinclair 1000 can totally bend if I stick it in my pocket.
Right.
Why won't they hear me?
Right.
Scott.
Right. See, because the curvature of your butt has taken precedence in this thing.
It's
and the other. Well, and the other one, when it was all glass.
Spaced butt time.
Right. When it was all glass, everybody complained about how it snapped in your back pocket. The problem here is back pockets, guys.
Here's the thing. Every time an iPhone comes out, within the first week, there is a gate now, ever since Antenna Gate. And even before Antenna Gate, there was the yellowing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's always something. And the reason for that is when you make this many million of anything, there's going to be quirks. And there's going to be use case scenarios that the manufacturer could not foresee that are going to cause odd problems. Apple is in the specific predicament that everyone is hyper-focused on their product, right? So when the Galaxy S5 comes out, and it bends in a few pockets, there's not this laser-like focus on it.
Right.
However, right. It does seem as if this one is a little bendier, perhaps, than the Note or some of the others. Whether that's actually true or not is really the question, right?
Yeah.
Is it just that more of these are being put through harder use faster than these other models? Because you're right. You're totally right. Other large screen phones have bent as well because they don't fit as nicely up against your leg. And so even in your front pocket, they're going to be stressed. I've bent an iPhone before.
Right.
I think it was my iPhone 4 mm-hmm. that I actually like warped so it wouldn't lay flat.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it didn't affect the ability of the phone to work.
Yeah.
But I was like, I got to be careful. You know, I can't just have it. I just can't sit with it stuck, wedged up, you know, in my pocket like that. So to a certain extent, I think you're right, which is, hey, come on. This is a, you know, $600 to $1,000 piece of equipment in your pocket, even if you paid a subsidized price for it.
Sure.
You need to treat it as such. On the other hand, I think if these are more susceptible to that, if people are saying, look, I'm taking the proper precautions. Guy from geek.com said, yeah, I had it in my pocket for a couple hours. I don't feel like that should have been enough to cause a problem because I've had plenty. He tests phones, right?
Right.
That's his job. He's like, I haven't had any other phones do this.
Well,
so could be a real question,
right?
To say like, hey, is this thing defective? Is it not stiff enough? Or even if it's like, hey, this is the way it's made, you should have warned us, like, hey, you can't just shove this one in your pocket like you do other ones.
Right. And the way, so the way I look at it is this. I had a physics class in high school, first physics class I ever took. And I remember almost on day one, we talked about surface area. And as a surface area, as it gets broader and thinner, it is bendier, no matter what the surface is, no matter what the thing is. Mm-hmm. So the idea that anybody be surprised about A, going with aluminum, and B, but going so much thinner than previous generations of this phone or any other phone, that it wouldn't also bend, seems like you're just pretending that you didn't know physics existed before, even if you don't know the exact ins and outs of that sort of thing.
On the state of education in our country.
I guess so. But like, if you put a hockey puck in your back pocket, guess what? Probably not going to bend. If you put a flat, a sliced off top version of that hockey puck that's only, you know, a quarter of an inch thick, it will bend in your mm-hmm. pocket. It's kind of coming down to that for me. And it was a nice way for me to bring up with my daughter. Hey, quit putting your phone in your back pocket, because especially if you get a new six like she's planning, you're going to bend that thing.
Well, and pickpockets too. Come on. Don't put anything in your back.
Yeah. Hand. What are you doing back there? That's not a place for anything.
It's an invitation for people to just help themselves.
But the curvature of your ace. Like you get this phone wrapped around your ass and you're sitting down on a hard surface. I don't know what you expect.
But a lot of the reports have been that it is the front pocket where this is happening. Some guy
and
took
that
it
actually
and
makes more sense to me. I feel like it'd be safer in your back pocket.
Really weird. Because
your butt's soft, mm-hmm. right? It's not going to pressure.
Mine's
the phone
not. Mine's firm.
Well,
like
obviously, if you're Brian,
how do you do melon?
Entirely different calculus, but. Yeah, when you've got the phone in your front pocket, you're talking about an angular pressure, right?
Yeah.
Not a rounded mm-hmm. pressure, yeah, even right. if you're Brian Ibbitt.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me. It's like, yeah, where it's bending is people've got it in their front pocket and their hip is essentially shoving it up against their leg mm-hmm. and providing a little nice, even, consistent pressure the entire time they're sitting.
Yeah.
I actually turned my iPhone 5 off one time because I had it wedged like that.
Yeah.
And these were pants that I had just bought that were too tight. And I
said, Tom back. And his skinny pants,
Tom's
right?
Skinny jeans.
Yeah. I was like, no, that does not work for me.
Are you wearing jeggings, Tom?
Yeah. So, and maybe that's it. Maybe we just hit on it. It's the skinny jeans combined with the iPhone 6. That's the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think it's a threefold thing. They're bigger. That makes it more susceptible. It's using aluminum now as a backing. That's more susceptible.
Mm-hmm.
And people have bad habits and
just bigger. Now that I want to be clear that that doesn't excuse the fact that what if Apple did make it too easy to bend, right?
Sure.
But frankly, you know, in all the reports and analysis I've read today, the incidence of this happening, or at least being reported, seems small enough as a percentage of the number that are sold. It doesn't seem likely that this is actually defective. It's more what you're talking about. Like, hey, this size of phone at this thinness with this material is going to be a little susceptible to bending. Maybe Apple should have made that clear. You know, the genius people saying, hey, guys, if you stick your phones in your pocket, usually you might want to be careful with this 6 because they go through this whole big song and dance setting up your phone. They could have slipped that in. And maybe they should.
Maybe they should. And you know what they'll do? If they do that at all, this is like the pattern would be about 30 days later. We'll hear something. Like they'll come out with some small post on their FAQ or somewhere on the website or in the forums or something that will say, you know, we recommend, you know, while we always strive for the greatest structural integrity, blah, blah, blah. We recommend you not put this in any pockets at all or something like that.
Well, and I think that's unreasonable, right? Yeah. You know, yeah. I read an analyst today is like, you just shouldn't be putting these things in your pockets. I'm like, everyone puts their phone in their pocket. That is a common expectation when you buy a phone is I'll be going to keep this in my pocket, right? So if a phone can't go in your pocket, that's something where you need to go like, now, wait a minute. These can't go in your pocket, folks. Let's
no
just
way.
Be
we
clear.
Need to go back to those belt holsters for our phones.
Right, exactly. That's. I mean, it's one thing to say that's the way it should be. It's another thing to say people reasonably expect that they'll be able to stick these in their pockets without too much problem.
Yeah,
so,
right,
you know,
and usually like if I'm going to be getting in a car, as soon as I get in the car, I take the phone out of my pocket. I put it in a little phone holder on my car or put it in the cup holder. Yeah. If I'm sitting down at work or
I sit down for Daily Tech News Show, I always take the phone out and I stick it there ever since the skinny jeans incident.
Exactly. Oh, I watched a YouTube video of a guy from Unboxing Therapy taking and putting his thumbs in the middle of it and then just kind of bending the phone. The amount of force that it took for this guy to bend the phone was pretty intense. Like, he had to really struggle to kind of bend this thing into, you know, a 2-degree difference. And I think if you're sitting down and you feel that pressure on your, on the phone in your pocket, you're going to take it out of your pocket. You're going to notice that it's digging into your thigh, because that's going to hurt.
Desensitization of skinny jeans. TV's Egon in the chat room, I think, has it. Apple's going to release Apple branded pants. Skinny jeans, capacious pockets.
Now,
we think you're going to love
it. Will they go iPants or just Apple pants?
My pants.
My pants!
My pants.
Nailed it. This is why Tom's at the forefront of technology reporting and in journalism, folks.
Because of puns.
He knows what's up. I didn't need
cargo pockets.
Now, I know, you may have not come here to even talk about this, and I didn't want to completely hijack that. Did you have any other big topic that you wanted
to... Well, it was that or the BlackBerry Passport, which also doesn't fit in your pocket, by the way. It's square.
It's square? Really? Weird.
That's cool looking, too, with a keyboard. Well, and about cool. It's
yeah, it's got a
bizarre looking.
It's got a 3-row keyboard.
Yeah.
And so the numbers come up on the screen, which I think is kind of clever. And that fourth row can change depending on the context. So if you're in an email, for instance, the at symbol and other things that you commonly need in email show up on the screen. But it's a square. So you have a wider screen. It gives you 60 characters across instead of 40. When you're looking at text, which Bonnie Chaw at Recode said, like, that's actually makes a big difference. It makes things a lot more readable. It doesn't play well with some video. Like when you do Netflix, for instance, it kind of cuts off the sides, and YouTube puts bars around it. So different apps work differently with it. But it also comes now with the Amazon App Store preloaded, because you can run Amazon Android apps on BlackBerry OS. $599 unlocked makes it pretty affordable, but we don't know what the subsidized price is going to be yet.
Yeah, and so this is not but you were talking about the keyboard. It is absolutely not a physical keyboard. It's like a... Is it a physical keyboard? I mean, how's it?
Yeah.
How does that change? Yeah,
it
is.
Three rows of it
are. Three rows of physical keys and one row of virtual.
Oh, I see. So that other one pops up top. I'm looking
on
at photos.
On the bigger screen, so it doesn't feel like it's taking a lot away from it.
Okay, that's actually kind of interesting.
The keys are touch sensitive.
So
you can do gestures across the keys for things like delete or next. They're software defined.
Well, Molly Wood, a friend of yours and obviously a friend of the program here, she did a review on the New York Times website and said this: as for one-handed use, just forget it.
For the iPhone 6.
No, for the...
For the Plus.
For the BlackBerry. For the...
Oh, for the BlackBerry. Oh,
for the Passport. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, because she said the same thing for the iPhone 6.
Yeah, I think she's really into that whole... I think she's really into that whole one-handed deal.
It's like, I got a kid, I've got things to do, right. I need to be able to use the phone with one hand.
She says, ultimately, the BlackBerry Passport feels different, daring, and promising, but not enough to entice people away from better-known devices. And that's the hard part of being BlackBerry these days. You could come out with something truly innovative and interesting, and... You're up against, you know, the Android iOS wall, and that's a very... I mean, ask Microsoft how hard that is to break into. It's and they should be able to.
If BlackBerry just rejuvenates enthusiasm in the people who are still BlackBerry customers, that's a win.
Yeah,
because they're fighting against erosion of their base. So if this one comes out and people say, like, "Ooh, I'm sticking with BlackBerry because I'm in that universe and this looks cool," that's good for them. And I think John Chen knows that. You know, a couple other things that are interesting about this phone: they're going to come out with a BlackBerry Classic version of it that's not square like the Passport later this year. That'll still have those touch-sensitive keys and stuff. But they also are doing some things where you can sync across different platforms. Mm. So the BlackBerry services that have launched on Android and iOS, you can now access your data across these different platforms. So if you have, say, an Android tablet and you have BlackBerry Messenger there, you know, your data can sync.
So. I wonder if Richard likes this segment, Brian, that we're not even talking about Android. I wonder.
Right, exactly. BlackBerry, iPhone. Are there any other phones? I can't think of any.
What else
is there?
Are there
any other operating systems?
The BlackBerry runs Android apps. We've mentioned Android.
So yeah, that's true. There you go. There you go, Richard. Take that to the bank.
And I just said Android tablet, Richard.
Yeah, see?
Basically, I was saying, obviously, everyone has Android, but you might want to switch to these other newer platforms like iOS.
Yeah, this has been the Android Richard Minute. Thank you for joining us.
Because you know Android is actually older than iOS.
Oh, gosh, that's true. In technically, yeah, technically,
depends
right.
on how you depends on how you grade it.
Sure,
you get iOS fanboys now writing in right now, going, "Ah, it's not true. It was
how
in development."
We never talk about the Palm OS on this show.
Yeah,
we should be
no
talking
doubt.
About the Palm.
Well,
OS.
Even if you say, "Hey, Android's got its roots in Linux, and Linux is older than that," well, then couldn't some argue that? Well,
when's the last time you discussed Compaq?
or that Geo? What the hell was that thing? Yeah, or PS2 was it?
Kin. I'm a big fan of the Kin.
Oh, the Kin, dude. The Kin lasted 5 minutes. One
Everybody
hot 5 minutes.
Everybody needs a sidekick.
So weird.
Hey, that was the original celebrity leak controversy was the sidekick, remember?
Right, I know. And they were monster huge right before iPhone hit yeah. and everything changed. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what we'll do.
All of this has happened before, my friends.
All happened will again. Happen again. I'm hearing some music coming from the ship. It's coming from the fracking ship! Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. Kind of TomMerritt.com. You're supposed to have some artwork today that will then let us have the history of tech or tech news history deal book out.
R-L-Y.
Yeah, awesome. That'll yeah. be happening no, soon.
This is a big one, right? Because as soon as we get the October version of the Amazon Kindle single of the monthly tech histories, we've got all 12 months available.
Today is art catch-up day, everyone. Wish me luck. Tom is also on This Week in, or excuse me, I was about to put you on your old show again. Daily Tech News Show.
That was which, my show. You're about
to it's true. Which happens a little bit later today. These and other stories will certainly be covered there. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Brian Brushwood is on the show.
Oh, lovely.
Brecky yeah, Thompson's cool. on tomorrow.
Hardly ever see that guy.
Recently birthdayed Brecky Thompson.
Yeah. He's 1 day older and 1 day wiser. So,
I've got birthday week. Kind of Patrick Beja was on Earth.
Oh, Patrick, oh, that's yeah. right. Patrick's birthday was a thing that happened. A star studded week continues. At Daily Tech News Show. I was born at one point. I don't have a belly button though. I don't know what that means. Was I birthed
in
a dish?
I was born when I was very, very young.
Ah, very nice. Gattaca. All right. So there you have it.
Oh, I forgot Quizzler.
Oh, Quizzler. Give us one. Give it to us. Tom Merritt's Quizzlers are very different. They involve him hanging up.
A clip of somebody's keynote, and we have to guess. Which
that's a great idea.
Yeah. That's awesome. I should do that.
Which Google I.O. did this happen in?
Hey, Rob from who makes a bunch of your theme music.
Rob Gabers, yeah.
From Schnauzer.
Yeah, Schnauzer Radio Orchestra.
New theme music for the Tech History podcast.
Oh, no way.
For the Today in Tech History podcast. And it has little clips from like a Zuckerberg keynote and a Steve Jobs keynote in there. Made me think of that.
That's amazing. He is awesome. I love Rob and his music is insane. My new video game show, my twice a week game show, Boop, has just filled with his music. He's a genius. Yes. Tom Merritt, take it easy. Have a great week. And we'll see you Friday for Current Geek.
Adios.
I just rhymed that. Oh, I didn't mean to. Right. Hold on. Whoops. Oops. Sorry. Are you there? Hello, Brian. Hello. Now I don't hear your audio, though. What the heck? Hang on. I'll try you back. Oh, you know why? Hold on. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. Add people to this call. Oh, gosh. Scott, really? Have you learned nothing? There we go. Okay.
There we go.
I'm in.
Good what, are you Lord. Running this thing from an iPhone?
I don't know what happened there. What are we doing? Let's do some quick emails.
Sure.
It's a nice long show today, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
whatever.
A big week. Emails are brought to you by.
Brought to you by finding out your neighbor listens to the therapy show and worrying that you might have said something dumb on one of those episodes.
Yeah, she's super nice. She did the cake for Taylor. She was hired to do our cakes, and she said yesterday, she goes, I love the therapy show.
Oh, that's so cool.
She's super nice, yeah, and her kids are really cool. Anyway, hey, here's an email from Oscar the Assassin. He's Terpster's friend. He says, Scott, you asking if finding two Mexicans sleeping on your front lawn was a bad omen. It is for me. It means my family is visiting and will be staying for a few weeks at my house. Adios, amigos.
Ay, rey, dais mío.
Oh, no. Ken Cowan. Ken Cowan from Everett, Washington wrote in. Mm-hmm. Hey, Scott and Brian. I heard Scott talking about his friend's reaction to the White House security breach on TMS. I am no fan of the current administration, but when I heard that he said my eye actually started twitching. I really hate it when people from, quote, my side, unquote, act like that. I've deleted friends on Facebook for incessantly saying similar things. I know you know this, but we're not all like that guy. It's unfortunate, that there are those types who seem to be the loudest, though. One of my most earnest wishes is that people would understand that you can disagree politically but still talk to each other in a civil manner. Love the show, though. Ken. Oh, my gosh. Could we make more Kens, please? Could we just right. clone the Kens? Because you guys would make the world a better Kens. Place. Oh, my gosh. Seriously, though. Like, that would be great if more people would think like that. On both sides of the stupid aisle. Could we all quit being a-holes? Because, you know, we never did talk about it again, but that Rush Limbaugh thing about no means no, or unless you know what you're doing or whatever.
No means yes. Yeah.
Turns out, taken way out of context. Way out of context.
Oh, really?
So way to go, left, with your dumb shit, too. Like, I hate this stuff. Ugh. Ken, we need more Ken. More Ken, less is everybody else.
Less Barbie.
Less Barbie. Bernie Walter wrote in finally, got a final email from him, says, "Hey, slurp and burp. I tuned into to the YouTube stream this morning and noticed that Scott's hair, shall I say, is a different color than last week. Was that for the wedding or just becauseers?" says Bernie. No, it's totally a different color. Kim colored it. She wanted to get rid of the gray that I get on the sides for the suit. She thought I looked better in the suit without these stupid gray sideburns I'm getting. So she did it, and it just went darker than usual. Normally, it's just my natural color, but for whatever reason, it went kind of dark. So, yes, you did not. You're not wrong. This is my wife's doing. She did it. I blame my wife.
My hair today is skin colored.
Yeah, I like it. It's less pink than usual.
Today was a shave morning.
Oh, was
shaved
it?
The head. Yep.
And you're still using the hand thing?
Oh yeah, yeah. Love the head blade.
The head blade.
Head blade.
It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Speaking of head blades, we're gonna head blade right out of here. Tomorrow is a brand new episode. We'll have Wendy here for Therapy Thursday and more fun stuff here on the program. So be here for that. If you'd like to support the show, and I know you do, it's patreon.com/TMS. Patreon.com/TMS. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. You can also email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, on Twitter. Follow Brian at Coverville. Follow me at Scott Johnson. Follow the show at Morning Stream. And Brian, is there a Coverville today?
There will be a Coverville today.
Today's Wednesday. Yeah.
Today's Wednesday. All right. So yesterday was Bruce Springsteen's 65th birthday. And it's time to pay tribute to the boss. So an entire episode dedicated to the boss's music in covers and some covers that he's done too.
Yeah,
so that's all coming up.
Do you have a favorite song of his ever?
Well, people would probably guess that it's the version of Cover Me that I cover at the beginning of every episode of Coverville.
Oh, good point.
However, it's actually my favorite Bruce Springsteen song. Mm. Either Atlantic City or 4th of July, Asbury Park.
Oh, I love that one.
Love the lyrics of that song. Yeah, oh, Thunder Road is so good, too.
Thunder Road's good. Philadelphia is good.
His songs that tell stories, I think, are just my favorite. Yeah. These vivid characters that, you know, Thunder Road, I'm going to say Thunder Road is my favorite.
Well, he's the boss, man.
That's such a great song.
Great. Well, speaking of music, you got something for us now?
I do. This one's going out to Randy Andrews from Iowa, who says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I've listened to your show for 3 years and I always enjoy the show. My wife only listens when we are together. This year is our 9th anniversary, so I'd like to request Crazy Little Thing Called Love. I prefer Michael Bublé, but if there's a better swinging cover of the song, great. My Haley is my true support through everything I go through. I lost my job, and still she is helping me by giving me encouragement. She is my everything. So without getting too sappy, please play the song. I know she will love it. Your loyal listener, Randy Andrews from Iowa."
Nice. Very nice.
Happy to play it for you, man. And we're going to go right to the Michael Bublé version. This one came out on his self-titled album from 2003. Say what you want. The guy's got a hell of a voice. He just doesn't look like he should have that good a voice, right?
Yeah, no,
he looks like somebody who's, you know, should be valet parking your car or something.
Yeah, and creepily so.
Creepily, like staring at you while he valet parks your car.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
Crazy Little Thing Called Love, Michael Bublé.
Bublé.
And covering, of course, Queen. Queen sort of covering Elvis Presley.
Good point. Sort of is the operative word.
Right, yeah.
Words, I guess. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a brand new show. Thank you for being here. We'll see you then.
This thing called love, I just can't handle it.
get this thing called love. I must get around to it. I ain't ready. Crazy little thing called love. This thing called love, it cries in a cradle all night. It swings and it jives. It shakes all over like a jellyfish. I kinda like it. Crazy little thing called love. There goes my baby. She knows how to rock and roll. She drives me crazy. She gives me hot and cold fever. Then she leaves me in a cool, cool sweat. I gotta be cool, relax, get hip, get on my track. Take a back seat, a hitchhike. Take a long, long ride on my motorbike until I'm ready. Crazy little thing called love. I gotta be cool. Relax, get a hip, get on my track. Take a back seat, a hitchhike. Take a long, long ride on my motorbike until I'm ready. Crazy little thing called love. There goes my baby. She knows how to rock and roll. She drives me crazy. She gives me hot and cold fever. Then she leaves me in a cool, cool sweat. I gotta be cool, relax, get a hip, get on my track. I take a back seat, a hitchhike, and take a long, long ride on my motorbike until I'm ready. A crazy little thing called love. Crazy little thing called love. Crazy little thing called love.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
That's because the leopard has four heads and four wings.
Four wings?
Four heads and four wings.
Four wings and four wings.